Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That is what we say as a call and response for Easter, but it's really not the Easter message. It's really not the message that God had at Easter, that Christ was risen, he is risen indeed. He actually had a little bit different message. Today we read about the women going to the tomb, a couple of Marys on their way. The other gospel writers tell us there were a few more. And they had to be brave to do this. They're going before sunrise through the dark and dangerous city, out into the country where the grave of Jesus is, the tomb that he's buried. They have to face Roman soldiers, probably assuming they're going to be chased away, but plead for mercy. They had to be incredibly brave, which begs the question, where are the men in the story? Where are the men who should have been by their side, protecting them in the streets, standing up to the guard, standing by the horror of their crucified Lord? The men were nowhere to be found. The men had scattered on Good Friday, and for fear, they would not show their face again. They were afraid that they would lose their freedom, that they could be arrested and thrown in prison. They were afraid they could lose their standing and their position, because the Sanhedrin had already declared that anyone who claims Jesus is the Messiah will be excommunicated, cast out of the synagogue. They might be beaten and bloodied like Jesus was and lose body parts. They might have even been executed with Jesus and lost their lives. And they were afraid. So afraid they wouldn't even go with the women to the tomb. Even though they had heard multiple times Jesus say, I'm going to die, and on the third day I will rise again, not a single one of them went, wait a minute, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe something's going to... Nope. They couldn't be bothered. They couldn't leave their hiding place. But did you hear what the angel said after he came down and the earth shook and the angel rolled the stone away and sat on it? Do not be afraid. Fear was the order of the day. And God's message on Easter was, do not be afraid. They discover the tomb is empty and the angel declares that Jesus has risen, and they run with fear and great joy to tell the disciples, and they encounter Jesus along the way and they fall and worship him. And did you hear what Jesus said? Do not be afraid. The message of Easter is do not be afraid. Jesus is risen. You see, on Good Friday, our standing with God was made right. When Jesus said, it is finished, his work was done, and we were redeemed. But on Easter, he began making all things new. On Easter, he began the renewal of the world. Did you know that within 100 years, either side of Jesus' lifetime, there were more than a dozen people who claimed to be the Messiah of God's people, there to redeem his nation? More than a dozen people claimed, just like Jesus did, to be the Messiah. If you want to go into the greater Greco-Roman world, within 100 years of Jesus' lifetime, there were more than 150 documented new religions, religious cults and mystery religions that came, each with a teacher, each who had followers, who proclaimed their message. And did you know after 100 years, only one of those movements survived? The difference between Jesus' movement and the movement of those 150 other teachers and preachers was different because when the leader of every single one of those movements died, the movement died with them. When they died, their followers would go out into the countryside and say, don't worry, we know what he taught. We can teach you his ethic. We can teach you to live the way that he told. And everybody went, I don't have time for that. And 150 religious movements died. But Jesus' disciples, if you were listening in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 10, when we get to hear Peter preach, Jesus' disciples' message was different. Jesus' disciples' message wasn't, we were with him, we know what he taught, we can teach you his ethic. Jesus' disciples said, we were with him. We saw him with our own eyes. We touched him when he was risen. We ate with him by the seashore. Jesus is alive. And let me tell you what that means. In 100 years, Jesus' movement spread through the whole world while all of the others died, because his message to his people that the disciples received was, do not be afraid. You see, Christianity caught on, particularly with the poor, with the oppressed of society, with the downtrodden and diseased. Women came in mass to the followers of Jesus because of the way that they were treated with new respect, with care and kindness that they didn't receive in the world. You probably don't know, but Caesar made a decree many decades before Jesus came, and the rule of the Roman Empire was any woman who is widowed must remarry within 2 years. After 2 years, the community has no obligation to care for her. So don't wait for love, ladies. Just latch on to the first thing that comes. And the followers of Jesus came and said, no, we will take care of you. We will provide for you. We will make sure that you are fed and that your children are taught and that they grow. And we don't care if you ever remarry. They came alongside the poor and said, I know that your lot in life is bad, but I have good news for you. God is making all things new. Can you imagine if they had come alongside the poor and just said, look, Jesus said we should just all get along, just love one another. That's not going to inspire a whole lot. But they said, no, Jesus said that he's making all things new. Jesus said that your lot in life now is not your lot forever, because the resurrection means that Jesus is going to restore you, that he is the first fruits of all who have died, and that all of creation is going to rise again. What that means is that the world cannot take from you anything that Jesus doesn't already plan to give you a better version of. The disciples were worried about their reputation until they discovered Jesus was risen, and then they didn't care. They didn't care because they already had a reputation in heaven. They were princes in the kingdom of God. And they went and told the world, and when they were laughed at, they didn't care because their reputation in him was sure. Emperors came along and stole their property, and they didn't care. Because Jesus said they already had treasure in his kingdom and a place already prepared for them. Take my house, take my money, I don't need it. Jesus has more. They gave up their lives. They died in horrible ways and they didn't care. They didn't care because they already had a new life in Jesus, a new body in Jesus. Joni Erickson Tada is a phenomenal Christian woman and writer. If you haven't read any of her stuff, you really should. Joni, at 18 years of age, had a diving accident that caused a traumatic spinal injury, and she became a quadriplegic. She couldn't move any of her limbs. In fact, the only thing she could move was from her neck up. So when she writes books, she holds a pencil in her hand and pecks at a keyboard. When she paints, she holds a paintbrush in her teeth. But she said the worst part of it for her, the worst part of it was when she went to church. Joni was an Episcopalian, and as a recovering Episcopalian myself, I can tell you her story about their liturgy is true. They would kneel at certain parts of the service. When I was growing up, during the confession and during the prayers, the congregation didn't stand, they knelt. And Joni said, I couldn't ever kneel. The whole church would kneel. to humble themselves before God, and I had to sit in my stupid chair. And she said, I got so upset that every time they knelt, I would weep. I would burst out into tears because I couldn't honor Jesus the way that I knew I should. And then one Easter, as I was crying and the pastor was praying, it suddenly hit me. The pastor declared that on Easter, Jesus came not simply to rise in his own body, but to promise me a new body. That one day I would stand before Jesus upright on my own two feet. And when I did, the first thing I would do is kneel down and sit humbly in silence before him. And then I would rise and I would dance to his everlasting glory. You see, no other religion in the history of the world promised Johnny a new body. In the Greco-Roman world and the philosophies from which most of our background cultures come from, the soul was seen as trapped. The body was a prison for the soul, and it endured suffering in this life until it could be set free. In Hinduism, you go through the forms of the created world until you can be freed from it and join the spiritual collective. In Islam, you stand in some sort of heaven someday before Allah, and he judges you, and you can enter heaven or hell. Only Jesus said, I'll make a new earth. I will give you a new body, and I will put you back together like Adam and Eve in the garden, that you will stand and you will dance and you will sing and you will be with those that you love. And the world can never take it away from you. That's the message of Easter. We live in a world where we are so cowardly today in our faith because we cling to this world like it's the only thing we're ever going to have. And if we lose something in this world, it is lost forever. And that's not true. The message of Easter is that the world can take nothing away from you that Jesus isn't already planning to give you a better version of. If they take your house, you have a home in Christ. If they take your wealth, you have treasure in heaven. If they take your reputation, Jesus has already declared you righteous and a prince or princess in his kingdom. If they take away your spouse, you will get a new one. The same one, really, but a newer version. Because that sinful nature will go away and they will roll the toothpaste from just the right spot. One day we will stand together with everyone that we thought we lost, and nothing will separate us ever again. We will sing and we will dance. If they take your arm or take your leg, Jesus is going to give you a perfect one back. When your life ends, if they were to take your life, all it does is speed the day when your glorious body is received. We need to stop living as cowardly Christians because we're afraid of what the world can take away from us and realize that Jesus already has better and you have nothing to be afraid of. It's the only explanation for how those cowardly disciples who wouldn't even go with the women to the tomb suddenly went out and changed the world and laid down their reputation and their wealth and their standing and their lives. And it changed everything. We need to be those kind of people again. And Easter is the day to remind us that we need to both be brave and not be afraid of what the world thinks they can take, because they can't take anything. Everything of yours is already safe with Jesus. And we need to be a people who relax and stop clinging to the stuff of this world so ferociously and live generously and empty-handed, because none of it's going with us to that new place anyway. And live a life of peace and joy because we know that our trust is in Jesus, not in any of the things of this world. The message of Easter is, do not be afraid because Jesus is risen. And he has everything you will ever need. May we be blessed to live as a people like that. In Jesus' name, amen.